occasionally I get asked to go out and speak to a group, and the other day I had a chance to address some new dentists who were leaving the Indiana University School of Dentistry here in the next few months. And these guys were periodontists, but I think the same issues that I'm about ready to talk about would apply to any dentist, any doctor, any engineer, any lawyer, any accountant, anybody who is a professional services provider who is wanting to either start a practice or, probably more frequently, you have a practice right now and you're wanting to build it. So I have about 12 things here that, actually 16 things, but we're just going to cover a few of them today on this real quick internet audio. Now, the first thing I think you need to understand as a professional services provider is what's the lifetime value of a client? Jay Abraham talks about this a lot, and we do a lot of work around this. What's the value of this client that you want to pursue, and what are you willing to invest to get it? If the lifetime value of a client's $100,000 and the profit on that is, let's just say, 30%, $30,000, then you have to figure out, based on that, what are you willing to spend to acquire them? And if you don't know that, it's really hard to determine what you'd be willing to invest. So I would say one of the steps you want to undertake first, and if you haven't done this for a while, do it. And what you want to do is add up all the sales and marketing expenses in the last 12 months and how many clients you got and what's the value of that client. And that's what you're spending now, and I think it'll enlighten you quite a bit to determine how much you're willing to invest. Number five, if you don't have a website, get a website. And I wouldn't even recommend getting a full-blown web. I would get a blog. And there's all sorts of WordPress-themed blogs you can get for just several hundred dollars. You can get them up and get them hosted and get them designed. And that's going to help you have a web presence without the tens of thousands of dollars that a lot of firms spend on websites. To me, a website should not be a brochure. It should give your clients and your patients insight into how you look at the world, how you interact with them, what kind of knowledge you can bring, what kind of education you can bring, and that's a blog is perfect for that. So for a few hundred dollars, you can get up and running and have a website that your competitor down the street probably spent 20 grand on. It's not nearly as good. Number three, have an ideal client profile. You know, so many times when you're starting a practice or when you're looking to build a practice, you forget that some clients are good and some clients are rotten. And you don't want rotten clients. Rotten clients suck the life out of your business. They suck the profit out of your business, just like you don't want rotten employees. People who don't match your value set, either people as in clients or people as employees, will suck the life out of you. And, you know, if you exist in a professional service realm, you have to have a little life left in you to deliver good quality content, whether it's an accountant, attorney, doc, whatever. And the more bad employees you have and the more bad clients you have, the less likely you will be to deliver a great quality service. Plus, bad clients refer you to other bad clients. It's almost like there's a bad client club out there, and if you get wedged into that, then you can't get out of it. You end up getting referrals to equally bad clients. So I don't think every client's a good client. I think only just the cream of the crop is good, and it's the tip of the iceberg kind of thing. And so go out and list your attributes of what you want a client to be. One of the things that we say in our world, we want our clients to push us, not to pressure us, but to push us to do things better, to advance our material, to take a deeper look into our content. And we have a bunch of clients who do just that. And bad clients don't stay around our firm for very long because it's just not worth it. Life's just too short. Which brings me to point number four, and that is only a handful of your clients are really good referral generators. We think that everybody's a referral generator. They're not. Now, you have to help them by giving them easy ways to refer you, which I talk about a little bit later here. But don't expect, lower your expectations about all your clients providing 10 referrals a year. They just won't do it. That's just not the way most people are cut out. Number four is recognize the points of contact, the touch points. In a doctor's practice, dental practice, or really any practice, you have a myriad of different points. It's from the time someone sees your website, that's one point, to when they try to click on making an appointment, that's another point, to when they talk to someone on the phone, that's another point, to when they show up in your office, what does it look like, smell like, sound like, feel like? All those points are important. And I read a study the other day that said in the average medical practice, there are 65 things that can go wrong on the first time a new patient visits your practice. 65 things. And I don't know whether there's 65, but let's say there are 25, or let's say there's 10. Make sure that you are conscious of those things and aware of those things. Number six, survey your patients, survey your clients. You know, I have done business with lawyers, accountants, web developers, website designers, enterprise counselors, and I can't remember the last time I had one of them say, "Hey, we care what you think about our services." Now, some web people, Amazon people like that do. And that's fine, but I would rather have a face-to-face person, like my accountant, say, "Bill, we're going to send you over a survey, and we want to know what you think about our services." And then, not only do I want that, I want something done with that. I remember a few years ago, I took my car into the dealership, and for a while there they were asking their customers what they felt about the service experience. And I would always have a complaint, not because I'm just making things up, because it was always something wrong. Never once did someone call me back and say, "Hey, I noticed it was going over your survey results. I noticed we didn't do a good job of X. Bring this thing back in. We want to fix that." Never. So then I stopped answering the questions because I said, "Why should I answer the questions for you? Take 15 minutes out of my time, out of my day, when you never do anything with them." So if you're going to ask people, get back to them. Number six, create a peer group. If you are a new dentist, doctor, lawyer, engineer in your market, or if you're just wanting to expand your market, go talk to other people who have already done it. Don't go talk to competitors because they're not going to probably give you much, even though I believe in the world of abundance and the theory of abundance, which says there's more than enough for everyone. But some people don't believe in that. So go to another city. If you're in San Diego, drive a couple hours to L.A. or wherever, whatever's 2 hours away. If you're in Indianapolis, drive to Cincinnati. If you're in Chicago, go to Milwaukee. Go to another city, pick out the top people in your industry in that city, and go talk to them. Go share information. Create a little, maybe even a telephone group that meets on the phone once a month for 30 minutes or an hour. Share ideas. Peer groups are great. You don't need to spend 2 or 3 days a month at a peer group, though. Just develop a relationship with other like-minded providers in other cities, non-competitive. Find out how they're doing it, and they're going to learn from you as well. Number seven, figure out what you want. Seth Godin had a blog the other day where he says, really see what's possible. Step one for success. See, and in parentheses, really see, and in parentheses, what's possible. And I think it's the same thing here. See what's possible in terms of clients. What kind of client do you want? And don't just write down what your manager or what your banker thinks or what your spouse thinks. Really get inside your own heart and mind and say, what kind of clients do I want in my business? Because if you don't know, then they're not going to know. If you don't know, you're going to be out in the marketplace and someone's going to show up and they're going to say, "I really need your services." And you're going to say, "Okay, I've got them and they have money and I have services, so it's a good match." But it may not be a good match because you've never really decided what you want. So take a few days, a few weeks, a few months. I don't think it takes a few years, but at least write something down. What do you want from your practice? What do you want from your clients? What kind of income do you want from your business? What kind of experience do you want to have as a business owner or as a sales professional or as a practice provider? Number eight, have an introductory letter written. Create some kind of an article that you can send out with a letter to a person that you meet. Let's just say that you're an accountant and you're going to be meeting with people all day long. You're going to come across several hundred people a year who might have a need for accounting services. But if you meet them, let's say you go to lunch with a client and you see an old friend there, and the old friend is dining with a CEO of a little company on the east side of town, and you get the card. the likelihood of you sitting down and writing a letter to that person is nil. You ain't going to do it because you get too busy. And the thought of an email, okay, nice meeting you, but that really doesn't bring much value. So I would have a letter already pre-constructed that says, "Hi, John, enjoyed meeting you the other day. As a courtesy, we sent out this article to people that we come in contact with. I thought you might like it." And then write the article about five tips, five reasons, three things you should look for, the 10 hidden secrets of accounting, or whatever those things are that would really bring value to that person. And have a stack of those. Go down to Kinko's, FedEx, and make a copy of them. And now you've got a ready-made introductory letter. You don't have to follow up on it if you don't want. Put your card in there. If you do that 200 or 300 times a year over the next 3 or 4 years, you will get business from that. They will remember that. It's better than an email because it's a physical letter. If you want to put something else in there, like a CD or a little booklet, but put something of value in there, not a brochure. Number 9, hidden assets are your relationships. You know, your relationships that you have in your church, in your neighborhood, of your suppliers, of course, of your clients, those are all your biggest asset when you're looking to build a business. And I can't tell you how many times that I've run across someone and I've developed a quick relationship with and have learned a little bit more about them. And they can always refer you to people, whether it's inside their company or their neighbors own businesses. Their neighbors have needs for services like yours. But if we stick our head in the sand and expect advertising or mass media to bring us in clients, we're kidding ourselves. I would say stop advertising, stop mass media. It's a total waste. Take that $50,000 a year you spend on that and spend $5,000 of it and create some kind of a little video article or very nicely done package that you can send out to new prospects. And as you come across people, don't send it out blind. Don't do blind direct mail. As you come across people, send them a follow-up note. Give them this package. And that'll be a way you can start to use these relationships. So those are 9 things that, I can't remember if it was 9 or 10, but I lose count after a while. But that gives you some sense. And you know, these things are not exclusively for professional services providers. These could be for a salesperson of any kind, for a business owner. But it's really a matter of thinking through what lead generation means for you. What does it mean to develop your business? And it can't just mean cold calling. Cold calling is not an effective and replicatable strategy for building a business. But using relationships, giving great client service, asking your clients how you're doing, get tips on how you can improve your practice or your business, find out from your clients. That to me is the overriding message from this, is your clients will tell you where you fall short and where you exceed expectations, and that's valuable information. This is Bill Caskey. Don't forget to join us on the Advanced Selling Podcast at theadvancedsellingpodcast.com, or you can ask us a question that we will cover. Brian Neal is my co-host. Go to Ask Bill and Brian, and that's Brian with a Y, askbillandbrian.com. Fill in your question or comment. We'll make sure it gets read on the air.